Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Not only is Bluehost Cloud our fastest web hosting available, but it's also built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you can get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. While you're at it, hit us with a like and a comment as well. Now, Pat P, let's get to our show.
Let's get it.
Now it's time for our check-in. Time to check-in. Skull check in. But before we get into the nitty gritty, unfortunately, our very own Patrick Peterson got hit with the COVID.
The vid.
Yes. Wasn't able to participate in the ball game against the Detroit Lions. And oh man, they missed him a lot. But Pat P, you look pretty good. How you feeling?
First of all, Mac, I want to say happy birthday to my youngest daughter, Parker Ava, since she just made two today. So I had an opportunity to celebrate my baby's birthday. She loved Coco Millen. So I was Coco Millen today in a blow up.
That's what's so, up.
Yeah. So my day was awesome. I had a little birthday breakfast with her. Mm-hmm. Had a lunch. I put a little bounce house downstairs because I'm still, you know, quarantining. So we had a little bounce house downstairs, a little cake, a little dance hall, a little paint station for her. Mm-hmm. We did a little a P2 birthday for my girl.
Were you on a DJ booth? Because you know you think you're a DJ.
Yeah, and I didn't do the DJ booth this year, but last year I did. This year I was not on the DJ this year because we didn't have many people. It was just the four of us. So
yeah.
It wasn't no need for daddy to get on the ones and twos. But yeah, back to the game, skull check-in. You know, I felt good. I mean, I feel normal. Just got us continue to follow the protocol by, you know, getting tested, and hopefully I can get a negative test here pretty soon.
Yeah. How close were you to playing this past Sunday in Detroit?
Yeah, I was very close, of playing. You know, the plan was to obviously get a negative test Saturday, fly out, you know, Sunday morning, whatever the case may be, to get suited up for the game. But I think it was, Saturday morning I got the call from our people, Suge, saying that I had I can't remember what they called it, but it was like a partially false and a partially negative test.
Wow, I never heard of that.
Yeah, because it's a PCR, so it's all about the numbers.
Gotcha. Okay.
I ran the numbers, and I was just on the borderline of passing it and failing it. So it was like they couldn't detect it or whatever. And they ran the test again, and it was negative. But I guess since I got the first, I think it was called presumption positive, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I got the presumption positive, then they ran the test again and it came negative. But since I got the presumption positive first, that made me ineligible to play, which broke my heart because, I was, had all intentions of playing Sunday, but, obviously things didn't work out.
Yeah. So will you be good this Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I hope. I hope I'm going to be good. I took another PCR this morning. We got to wait to see what the results are going to say in the morning. So hopefully tomorrow, the test comes back negative. And I'll take a rapid test and be able to get back in the building tomorrow. So
you got to get two negative tests.
Yes, I have to get two negative tests before I am able to enter the building. So hopefully the test I took this morning is negative.
Yeah.
I take the rapid test tomorrow, and hopefully that could be negative too, so I can get back with the squad.
Did you have any symptoms?
Nah, man, which was only thing I had was, I guess it was a symptom, but just my throat was sore. You know, and it wasn't like a bad sore to where I couldn't swallow. It was just like a little raspy, you know, a little sore, you know, when it came to, you know, swallowing or, you know, trying to drink anything. So all I did was literally, you know, just drunk some tea for the most part. It kind of soothed the throat for the most part. But everything came back around. Didn't have no, I didn't lose my smell, didn't lose my taste, my appetite. Mm-hmm. Wasn't fatigued. I felt normal, you know, so.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for our listeners and viewers, don't forget we're recording this on Monday. So by the time you actually hear this, hopefully we've heard some good news regarding Pat P and being able to participate against the Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday Night Football national stage at home.
Yep.
At the crib, back at the crib, baby. So it should be a big game. But before we get to Pittsburgh, let's hit the Lions recap. Unfortunately, it was another sad love song for the Minnesota Vikings. Tony Braxton, it's another sad love song rocking my thing. That's how I felt. Boy, I tell you this much, boy, the highs and the lows, boy, the ebbs and flows of football. Crazy. Vikings lose 29-27. The Lions, that was their first victory of the season. Actually, that was their first victory of the year and in 365 days.
In a year, damn near.
Yes. Jared Goff won his first game away from Sean McVay. He was 0-16-1 entering Sunday's game. 9 of 12 Viking games have come down to the final play. Vikings are 3-6 in those games. Bright note, Justin Jefferson stepped up big time for the injured Adam Thielen. 11 receptions, a career high, 189 yards receiving, and a touchdown. Pat P, you weren't on the sideline. My bad. You were actually at home.
I was on the couch.
What was it like watching your teammates go to battle and you actually at home the very first time, you know, just kind of not being not with your Viking teammates on the sideline at home?
Oh, man, it was weird. But at the same time, I felt like a fan at the same time watching it on the couch, but I actually know what's going on, like know the calls that's being called, you know, knowing where certain players are supposed to be in a certain predicament. So it was a weird Sunday for me this past Sunday, watching the guys go out there for battle. I was all over the place. You know what I mean? I told my wife, actually, crazy enough, I said, now I see how you feel. Watching the game, because like it was like you said, it was like I was on the edge of the seat, you know, the entire game, especially the fourth quarter. You know, and when we went down, you know, early in the game, I knew we would claw back in the game at some point, you know, because that's just how we're built. We're a very resilient team. Now we just have to learn how to finish games. You know, that's what's coming back to, just finishing games. You know, but you know, the game was a very exciting game for me to be on the couch to watch as a fan slash player. But definitely, it was a lot of energy in my house for sure, especially when we finally took the lead, in that game. But you know, to watch that 2 minute drive that Detroit put together to win the game, it was tough to watch. You know, it was tough to watch because it was some plays out there that could have been made to seal the game. It was a couple scenarios that we could have, you know, kept the clock running, made it a little easier, a little bit harder for him. But you know, all we can do is just, you know, coach up those points at this point. You know, and hopefully when that moment comes, presents itself again, because that's been a story of our year all year. You know, winning or losing by possession. You know, so. We have to find a way to nip this in the bud and moving forward, because like I talked about in week 7, you know, we don't have much time left. You know, if we want to be what we want to be at the end of the year, you know, it's time to, you know, cut out the foolishness. You know what I mean? By, you know, if it's, you know, spending extra time, you know, studying a team's 2 minute, or spending extra time finding out what teams like to do in the red zone, because you know, those are, you know, the positions of the field and the times of the games that we're losing. You know, we're not, you know, statistically, we're not a very good 2 minute defensive team, you know, in the red zone. You know, we give up too many points in the red zone. You know, it's those are things that is not a recipe for winning football. But oddly enough, we are still in the hunt. We are
still in the playoff hunt.
Football is still right there for us. But we have to buckle down and get these mistakes cleaned up.
No question. No question. Watching from home, what kind of watcher are you? Do you have the volume up, or are you watching in silence? Or how was that Sunday?
I watch a silent, Matt.
You do?
Yeah. I got to watch it quiet. I got to watch it quiet, man.
And why is that?
Because, and there's no offense to the commentators. Mm-hmm. I don't like to hear him talk. I just don't. I just don't like to hear him talk during the game. Especially with me being a player, because sometimes they be saying some outrageous stuff. Man, you know what I'm talking about.
No question. Yeah.
So I don't even want to get myself worked up over this right now. So I just always watch it on mute, or I put a little music on in the background or something like that. I always watch it on mute.
Yeah. Well, take us through the final play, the game-winning touchdown reception by the Detroit Lions, passed by Jared Goff. Easy pitch and catch. What did you see from where you were sitting?
From where I was sitting.
And did you know what the call was based on your
I knew exactly what the call was.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like I said, that was the best part about it, you know, watching it from the couch. Like, I knew pretty much every call that we were in. And in that particular call, I love the call because, you know, it puts you in position to protect, you know, the goal line and the back of the end zone. Mm-hmm. I just felt, you know, we talked about this. You know, he texted me right after the game. He said, you know, big bro, what'd I do wrong? I was like, first of all, you was too deep in the end zone. You know, mm-hmm. I feel, you know, we talk about this all the time. In the red zone, they cannot beat you deep. Mm-hmm. They cannot throw the ball over your head in the red zone. Yeah. So stand your ground and make him take you in the end zone, because you can be over the goal line by this much. Guess what it's going to be? A touchdown. Yep. So you have to defend the goal line. You can't defend the end zone. You got to defend the goal line. Mm-hmm. Every inch of that goal line, that's what you got to defend. And I just told him, I just thought you were just a little bit too deep in the end zone, you know, staying ground, forcing to run you through. But that's easy for, you know, me to say or a fan to say, you know, versus when you're out there
in the fight,
in the moment. You know, but that's why I try to tell, you know, not only Cam, but Breland, Chris, Ty Smith. That's why practice matters.
Yeah.
Practice how you want to play in the game. Practice the habits that you want to carry over to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Practice those habits now, because when you get in the game, it's like your body going to fall into that position. No it's question. Not nothing you have to think about. It's just, all right, boom, I did this. I did this 3 days in a row in practice. So now that's like muscle memory. Boom.
Repetition.
I'm in position now.
No question.
You know what I mean? That goes back to guys when they ask me all the time, like, bro, how you never take a false step at the line of scrimmage? Because I've done it so much. It's I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just get in position and now I'm ready to rock because I've done it so much. I practice it so much. And I have a self-conscience over that particular technique to where it's second nature now. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when you're in practice. You plan a game on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, because you never know what player is going to come up that you practice going to come up in the game. That's why you want to be sharp in practice to where in the game it's going to be second nature.
No question.
And Cam knows this. It's just something we harp about all the time. Know where you are in the red zone. Know what they can and can't do in the red zone. They cannot throw the ball over your head in the red zone. So all you have to do is defend the goal line.
Yeah. Is this season salvageable? You still have a lot of football left to be played. Yeah. You talked about still being in the playoff hunt. What do you guys need to do?
We have to win our games. Win the game that's on our schedule. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you look at the teams that's ahead of us. You got Washington, who was the other team? Maybe Philly, if I'm not mistaken.
Philly is still in the hunt. San Francisco is still in a wild card spot.
Who's in the wild? It's San Fran,
the Rams, and Washington.
All right, cool. So now you got, you know, all of us now is going to get into the the meat of our division games. You know, most of these games are going to be division games. So we got Chicago twice, and we got Green Bay once. So that's three games out of the five that we got division games. Every team like that in the NFL remaining schedules, nine times out of ten is going to be that.
No question. Yep.
So we have to, you know, I won't necessarily say we have an easier way, because every game in this league is hard. It's hard to win. Just showed it, you know, Sunday. Lions was 0-10-1 and came out on top of this game. So, you know, this time of the season, all we have to do and all we have to worry about is winning the games that we have on our schedule. You know, obviously we need some help, but we can't worry about that. You know, all we have to do is worry about the food that's on our plate.
No question.
And go eat it. You know what I mean?
So I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And so, and just hopefully and hope, you know, everything else just take care of itself. But at the end of the day, we dug ourselves in this hole. You know, if you look at the games that we lost, yes, a lot of should have, could have, would have. But, you know, if we were able to do what we were supposed to do execution wise,
yeah,
we can easily be sitting here saying we could be 9-3.
I agree.
8-4, whatever the case may be. But we're not. But that's why we have to look ourselves, every man that's on his roster, look ourselves in this mirror, ask ourselves, how bad do we want it? Because it's still right there for us.
Yeah. How can this team overcome so many injuries, though? That's another thing you guys have been hit with. It's not just about not being able to finish.
Yeah.
But the injuries. Adam Thielen went down, high ankle sprain. His status is not known. It's for Thursday. Dalvin Cook may not play. Christian Darrisaw, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendrick. So many significant key pieces that have missed ball games. You've missed games as well yourself, but how can you overcome some of the things that you've been dealing with that's not on the field related?
Man, you know, Mac, that's why I feel like it was so important to me, because I've been in this league for 11 years, and like I always talk about, injuries going to occur. Your backup guys have to be ready to roll at some point. You know, and I'm in this, you know, I've been for over the last five years. You know, the league is getting younger. You know, you got guys that's coming from college that wants to play right now, but don't really understand that they're not ready to play right now. You know what I mean? So at the same time, you have to be, obviously you have to be patient if your time is not now, but also diligent enough to continue to get yourself prepared for when your time do come, you shine.
Take advantage.
And now you're making a hard decision on the decision maker.
No question.
That's the only thing that you can control. You know what I mean? So that's why I made a point of emphasis of making sure I did everything that I possibly can do to make sure that the guys behind me will be, or, you know, backups in general, is going to be more than ready when that time is called. Because you can ask every backup on this team what I told them once the season starts. I said, I know you might not be a starter now, but at some point,
you're going to be.
Trust me, we are going to need you. We need every man that made that roster. They're going to have a hand in the pile at some point.
No question.
Just have to believe it and stay patient and stay true to your regimen or your routine to where when your time comes, now you're ready to shine.
No question. And that's the thing, you know, be ready, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mentally and physically. And other news that's not injury related, but, you know, defensive end Everson Griffin, you know, came out on social media this past Friday night and announced that he's bipolar, said he wants to be an advocate for mental health following an incident that happened last week in which he called police to his home and then refused to leave. This is what he's posted on Instagram. It's true. I am bipolar. I will embrace it. I will be an advocate for mental health. I've been running from it for a long time. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. It all started when my mother passed away. Went to a dark place, thought I was great for many years. I promise this time I will do everything the experts say and my wife. I love my family. I miss my friends. Thank you for all the love and support. But most of all, thank you for all your prayers. You know, now that's another situation you're dealing with another key contributor not potentially in the lineup. You know, talk about the support you guys have for Everson as he go through these mental hurdles that he's dealing with.
You know, man, you know, it's sad to see, you know, Everson go through the situation, but, you know, happy that, you know, that he's a, you know, I won't necessarily say, you know, take responsibility, but acknowledging, you know, the illness that he do have. And I feel like the team has been behind him since I've, you know, I only been, you know, a Viking for what, since April. So what is that? Yeah. What, 6-7 months? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, they love Everson around here. You know,
Everson, the second stint with the team.
Yeah, they love Everson around, just as, you know, the energy he brings to the building, his personality. You know, he's just a great guy to be around. And like I said, he's one of us. And, you know, we have Everson back. And what people don't know, when someone is bipolar, they literally have no control of that, you know, of that other side of them. So, you know, now that, you know, Everson understands, you know, what he means to his family, the severity of, you know, the situation that happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's very, very loved, and he knows and appreciate that. Now he just wants to make sure that, you know, his mind and body is in the right place, and having good people around him as well to make sure that, you know, he's able to live his best life and be in the best mood at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good that he's able to embrace it, like you said, because when you acknowledge you have a problem, you're able to go ahead and try to resolve that problem. So that's something that he's doing. So we wish Everson and his family nothing but the best. And hopefully he gets back to, you know, being with his teammates as well. In other news, and I know this happened over a week ago, so many fans of our show, Pat P, was, you know, hitting us up on YouTube, sending us messages. They wanted to know.
What they wanted to know, man? What
happened? What happened? You know, you go about your business on the football field quietly, you know what I mean? Usually not heard, but you felt. But you got into a little spat, a little squad with Brandon Ayuk. Wide receiver, second-year wide receiver with the San Francisco 49ers. Like I said, this happened 2 weeks ago, but people wanted to know what got you to the point of a whole tussling match with Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, man. It's funny you brought that back up. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. What happened? Yeah, you got a little tussle. I don't know what led to it.
I know what happened. I think what led to it was – because I watched the game about three times. I think because they got a big play, and he was trying to block me, and I shedded the block or whatever. So I kind of like, you know, I didn't throw him out the club or whatever, but I shedded the block, got him up off about, you know, wherever he was. But the ball was, like, behind me. Yeah. So I'm walking back towards my huddle, and he bumped me. I'm like, yo, what you got going on?
Oh, the play over, he still bumped.
Yeah, so he bumped me. So I'm like, damn, all right. Okay, all right. That's what it's going to be. So they ran the ball the next play, and he came and bumped me again. Yeah. So now I'm getting off the block. Now he's trying to snatch my helmet off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, no, you know, no, you young fella, we ain't doing that. Like, no, nah, we ain't doing that. So – one thing led to another. I don't know how his helmet came off, but I just know his helmet was off, and yeah.
The San Francisco media, 49ers media, they was like, oh, Brandon Ayuk body slam Pat Peterson. And I looked at the guy, body slam. What?
And that should have been a holding out of the gate.
No question.
It was a run play, and you can't block like that. That's no block.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes this social media or this whatever you want to call this so funny. Is that a football play? Was that a football play?
No.
But to them, oh, that's all glamorous. That's almost like the Jamar Chase play where he threw the ball somewhere else. Yeah, he made a great cut or whatever.
Yeah, type of consistency.
The ball to him. Like, yeah. What are we celebrating here?
Yeah, it didn't even count.
Exactly. But anyway, for them to say he body slammed. Oh, then another one that got me too, when they said Debo Samuels pancaked me when I clearly tripped over his foot, first play of the game. But he pancaked me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to see what they want to see. You know what I mean? That's exactly why when you at home watching football, you don't have the
that's
volume.
That's why I watch it on mute.
You watch it on mute.
Pancake. This man clearly. And when you look at the block, he didn't even push me. Yeah, literally fell back and rolled over. But it is what it is. That's
no question.
That's the job that I have. And I ain't complaining about it.
No doubt. So now let's transition to this game. You have a short week, Thursday Night Football national televised game against my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
For you, Pat P, you basically had an off week because you didn't play this past Sunday, right? So you had an off week. So I was going to ask you, you know, how do you transition to getting ready for a short week? But you didn't really have a short week. But talk about the difference in game prep when you're playing on Thursday night compared to playing on Sunday.
Well, it's different. It's definitely different from a normal week because everything is kind of, you kind of crunching 2 days into one. And, you know, you typically, you know, have that Monday to let your body rest. But nah, we back in the meeting rooms. We back on the field. Got to get a workout in. It's long days, you know, and especially for, you know, not even for older guys, any player. I believe it's tough to get your body to play again, especially late in the season like it is now.
Yeah.
To play 4 days later than the game you just 4 days playing 4 days prior to the previous game.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's bizarre. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a money business and they got to get football on TV, you know. Yep. So, but like I said, it's definitely a tough, difficult week to prepare for. And it's mental more than anything because you physically can't get your – I mean, you physically can get your body prepared for the game, but it's not going to be that the normal looks that you normally get on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday. You know, these practices now are typically, you know, walk through a lot more film, a lot more meetings, you know, like I said, a lot more mental than physical more than anything.
And this is something I didn't know. You're 0-3 in your career versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. You only played against Big Ben one time in your career. What are your thoughts on facing him probably for the last time?
Oh, man, it's going to be an honor to play against Big Ben. The two times I didn't play against him, I think Mike Vick was the quarterback 1 year. I'm trying to think who
Doug Hodges?
Who was the guy got hit by
Mason Rudolph?
It wasn't Rudolph. He was number two. He was a short quarterback. I can't remember his name. He was small.
Could have been Doug Hodges.
It could have been him. I just know he was short because he was a small quarterback. I remember that for sure. We played him in Arizona the last time. And yeah, I'm 0-3 against Pittsburgh, man. I don't know. That's the Pittsburgh. And I want to say it might be the Dolphins are the only two teams I haven't won. Oh, in Arizona now, obviously, because I was playing against them.
Yeah. Are the only teams you haven't beaten.
Yep. Only three teams I haven't beaten.
Oh, well, you got time to change that narrative.
Yep.
Yeah. And how do you plan?
Brady, man, I want to have a win against every team.
I mean, when you do that, that's big time. Every team is 32 teams. Well, outside the team you're playing against, it's 31 teams that you can get that victory against. So, yeah, you got time to change that. You know, how do you plan to, defend the Pittsburgh Steelers? Offensively, they've been a bit stagnant from time to time, but kind of woke up against the Baltimore Ravens, especially in the fourth quarter, second half of that ball game.
Yeah, I watched that. Big Ben. That was a hell of a game.
Yeah. They got, you know, no Juju Smith-Schuster, but you got Clay's Chapel, Deontay Johnson, a smooth route runner, Dwayne, James Washington, Pat Faramuth, Penn State guy, who really emerged to be a big-time playmaker for them in the red zone. How do you plan on defending those pass catchers?
You know, they got a good crop of pass catchers, like you said. You know, the thing for us is going to have to be point of emphasis is stopping the run, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a very, very skilled running back who reminds me a lot of a young Bell.
Le'Veon. Patience, yeah.
The way he's able to lower his pad level, his vision, his jump cuts, his patience. You know, he's a very, very talented runner. So we're gonna have our hands full on the ground as well because, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, although they do have Big Ben and a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they want to play smash mouth football. You know what I mean? That ain't no ifs, ands, buts about that. So we know we're gonna have to have our big boy pads on, and we have to make it rough for Ben. You know, get to his feet. You know, because we know it's not a bad thing, but you know, he's an older quarterback. He's not as mobile as he once was before.
No question.
As elusive as he once was in the pocket. So we have to make sure that we corral the pocket, you know, make those, you know, get around his feet, make those feet happy in the pocket, make him make ill-advised throws, and make sure we capitalize on those throws. Cause obviously we know Ben is a gunslinger. He trusts his arm. You know, he's going to put the ball in tight windows, but we have to make plays when those plays presents itself. So we have our hands full. We know their defense is going to play stout, you know, getting some of their key players back with Hayward and Minka back on in the secondary. I don't know the status about Joe. I know he had a foot injury, but these guys are going to play, you know.
Yeah. Nah, and they're chasing the playoff spot just like you guys are. Exactly.
And the thing I always, you know, when I watch, you know, Pittsburgh on TV, you know, it's crazy when I was watching the game because I watched them when they played the Chargers, and me and my wife were watching the game and it was down like 17 in the fourth quarter. I said, trust me, this game is not over. Pittsburgh Steelers are just like the Seattle Seahawks, the old Seattle Seahawks. They don't know what they're doing right now, but they are never out of a game. It goes to show that those guys are well coached and those guys are definitely continue to fight for every second that's left on that clock.
Yeah. Well, now it's prediction time. This is a tough prediction for me. Last few weeks I've been picking. Hey, last few weeks I've been picking another team.
What you gonna do this week, Matt? God, you gonna go back with us?
No, I ain't going back. At least when I pick another team, you make it real, real close, right? So you know what? I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers, winning this one right here. All right. And if you don't understand the premise of me going against Pat P is because every time I pick the Vikings, they just laid out. So at least hey,
I got a good number for you too. I'm gonna see what you're gonna say first. I'm gonna see what we're thinking the same.
So check this out. This is the Thursday night game at home. Y'all play good football at home though. Defense, y'all fly around at home. The Pittsburgh Steelers win 21-23.
That's close enough. I was thinking more like
16-12. I mean, heck. First game that hit the under. So let's see, 23-21 in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Pat P, fans have been telling me, hey, don't pick the Vikings ever again. So that's what they've been telling me. So 21-23 Pittsburgh Steelers, Thursday night football. Let's see.
The fans have spoken.
The fans spoke and said, man, keep picking the other team. That's what they keep telling me. Look, we've all been to the grocery store, bought some meat, went home, and was unhappy with the quality of it. I know that has happened to me many a times. Quality matters when it comes to the meat that is the centerpiece for your holiday meals. Get this, ButcherBox sources their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality. So no more searching the store for 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more. I told everyone that I made some chili recently. Ooh, it was so good. Well, now I'm back to making tacos. And in my house, it's not just one type of meat. I'm able to use chicken, beef, fish from all sorts of taco options. The family loves it. I love it. And it's great because every month, ButcherBox sends selection of high quality meat right to your home. Each box contains 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on the box of your choice. That's enough for 24 individual meals. This holiday, ButcherBox has given new members one pack of bacon-free in every box, plus $20 off each box for the first 5 months of your membership. That's free bacon for life and up to $100 off. Just go to butcherbox.com/allthingscovered to sign up. That's butcherbox.com/allthingscovered. All right. This segment of our show, it usually consists of NFL news, but there was so much going on that wasn't just NFL related. We're going to just tap into the World News Report, I guess. I think that should be the name of it. The World News Report coming from All World Things Covered. Big news coming from Baton Rouge. LSU stole Brian Kelly from Notre Dame. That's what y'all did. Y'all stole him. Tampering. Got a new head football coach. Are you aware of that, Pat B?
I am.
It looked like that was news to you.
No, it wasn't news to me. I actually just read that they fired Tommy Moffitt.
Who is that? That's the
strength coach.
The strength coach, the coach you love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was there for a long time too, right?
Yeah, he's dead since 2000.
Wow, he's gone. So Kelly bringing in his own strength coach. 10 years, 95.
Man, you got to keep the guy. First of all, hold on. I'm going to go back real quick. Mm-hmm. Got to keep the guy that's getting the guys in shape to go perform. And I tell you what, that ain't nobody better than that Tommy Moffitt, yo.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, ain't nobody better than that Tommy Moffitt far as stamina, far as power, far as strength, mm-hmm. far as a dog mentality. Because, you know, it starts with them strength coaches.
When you were at LSU, you had a pit bull neck. Now you had a pit bull neck.
I'm telling you, it starts with them strength coaches. That's the first person. That's the first guy you're gonna be with.
Yeah, you gonna be with him more than your coaches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you, that Tommy Moffitt, man, he is a special guy, man. I'm getting chills talking about him. He was.
Yeah. So you weren't in agreement with him firing Moffitt.
Nah.
Mm-mm. When you give a guy 10-year, $95 million with incentives, he has a lot of power.
Boy, but at the same time, you got to look at this as well. Who's Tommy Moffitt been with as his coaches?
Nick Saban.
Been with Butch. He was with Nick. He was with Les.
Orgeron. They all kept him.
Hello. I'm telling you.
Kelly didn't. Hey, speaking of Brian Kelly, did you see his intro at the basketball game when he just like he had a southern accent?
I mean, just starting off on the wrong foot, man. What are you doing? Like, we're not looking for nobody to come in here and try to be one of us. Like, be yourself. Come in there, bring some wins, and then you can like Ed. That's who Ed was. That was his slang. Mm-hmm. You can't come in and try to. Where's he from? Right, he's from like the.
I don't know. I don't know if Midwest. I'm not sure, but we know he doesn't. He don't talk
exactly.
Like that.
Why would you come in? Would you try to get a great first impression?
Hey, heck, they didn't get you 95. That's the
The great first impression is going to be first of all beat Alabama. So that's going to be my great first impression.
Yep.
Okay, and let's get to the. Oh, you from Massachusetts, Boston? Uh-huh. So yeah. and I ain't heard not them nobody
talk like that. Then he said, you know, you guys are. He said something to the nature of you guys are cheering already, and I haven't won all of my games yet.
Yeah, man.
I didn't like when he's so before hearing the southern accent, and before Kelly firing Moffitt, were you a fan of the hire?
I won't necessarily say I'm disappointed in the hire. I do think it was a good hire. I do think it was a good hire, but I thought it was something out there better for us. I feel like it's something out there better for us in a sense. I don't know who it could have been, mm-hmm. but I think it was something out there better for us. I just think now they're going off. Obviously, I believe he's the second winningest coach in, you know, behind Nick Saban as far as current coaches. In the NCAA, I think he's been to the college playoff three or four college playoff appearances. Mm-hmm. You know, and he gets 10 wins a year in Notre Dame, and Notre Dame do get talent in there. You know, each and every year, and he does a great job of, you know, recruiting guys to Notre Dame, which I know is hard. So, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, easier for him to get better talent now. Mm-hmm. But you know, I really know it was tough. I really wanted Jimbo. I wanted Jimbo back. When I knew that was gonna be tough for us. You know, I like the Jimbo. I know Mike would have never left the Pittsburgh, but you know, I would love Mike Tomlin to coach the boys. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a lot of coaches out there. I saw Lincoln. I thought he would have been a good change for us, bringing a different offensive style of football to LSU that we haven't seen, you know, since, you know, Joe Brady. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what before that, because we really never really had like that flashy type offense. It was typical, like a prototypical style offense, you know, running the ball and, you know, kind of lining up in 11 personnel, passing the ball around the field that way. But yeah. I would love to see a change of on the offensive side of the ball, as far as being more appealing, being more flashy, you know, going outside of the box and versus just being so ordinary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would have definitely liked to see, I would have loved to see that. But, you know, the hire is the hire now. You know, I'm not saying that Chip is not a credible coach because he is. You know, I just thought.
Brian.
is a credible coach, but I just thought, you know, we could have got some a little bit more flashy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to see how it all play out.
We're going to see.
SEC is different, though.
It is.
You don't win the games you're supposed to win, that heat going to get on you. So we definitely going to see. In other news, Pat P loves fashion. I love fashion myself. Virgil Abloh passed away last week. Very, very influential in the fashion world, Off-White, Louis Vuitton. An interview over the summer, Pat P said he would love to have Virgil as one of his dream guests on our podcast. And unfortunately, we weren't able to make that happen. But Pat P, I know you're a big fan of things that Virgil has been able to do, Off-White related, Louis Vuitton related. What made him so influential?
Oh, man, just how unique he was, how different he was. He was just... I believe he brought a different flair to fashion, you know, far as it started with the Off-White shoes.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the Off-White shoes, what they're known for, the tab that's on the shoes.
No question.
You know what I mean? And I just always thought that was different. I always thought that was just something just to set his product apart from everybody else's. And just how colorful it was, how just, you know, just the thought process behind the material that he uses, you know, it's just not like I have this this one trench coat is like one of my favorites. I have a couple here that I'm gonna show you, but I have this blue one I wore it last year against Seattle. It has like this wool on it, then it has a little bit of suede on it. It has like all these different fabrics on the I'm gonna send it to you, Max, so we can put it on the show.
Yep.
But it has all these different fabrics on it to where it's just different. And every time I wear that jacket, somebody just compliment me every single time. Like, where the hell did you get that from?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and those are the type of reactions that his pieces bring, you know, just like this.
Okay. What you got for us? So
just like the different things that he's able to just create.
And that's
like,
Bluetooth. That's Bluetooth connected. That's
Bluetooth. But just how vintage it looked. It don't look like a speaker, you know what I mean?
It
lights up and, you know, it got a great sound to it. You know, like I said, just, I mean, I got a whole bunch of his stuff, man. I got this jacket, this cool piece. I ain't even wore it yet.
That's fresh off the tag.
Fresh off the rack. Just got
no question. He got the tag on it still.
So that was a part of his winter collection. This is probably my most prized possession because I think this is, one day this is going to be worth a lot of money, man.
What you got?
I haven't wore this. This one got the tag on the steel too.
Yeah.
So he just designed this this trench Louis V trench coat with the
that's move right there.
Platinum monogram Louis V logos all over it. Yeah, it's a nice little trench right there. I got a bunch of trench now that I'm in Minnesota, so gotta stay warm.
You got to layer up out there.
Yeah, man. So he came out with this new line of lots of the dunk.
Yep.
So I have 30. So it's 50 lots. That's what the shoes are called, lots.
Yeah.
I have 37 of the 50 lots. This is lot one.
In different colors.
So that's lot one. This is lot two.
Yep.
Lot 13. Lot seven. Then we got what lot is this? Oh, these are the only black ones. A lot of people, this lot 50.
Oh, them smooth. 50 right of 50. Them smooth.
Cool thing about it, too, it tell you the lot of the lot. So it's, this is lot 50 of 50.
Man.
Another
the white shoelaces?
White shoelaces. But these are a pair of shoes that I am never going to wear.
The twos.
Yeah, the twos. I got both colorways.
Just came out.
I got the white colorway. And I got the black colorway in my closet. So, but these would never
That's his signature?
No, this is actually Michael Jordan's signature.
That's Jordan's signature. Oh, that's even. Oh, yeah.
So these sneakers right here would never be worn. But yeah, man, I got a bunch of stuff of Virgil. This is just literally just a small sample because I have stuff in storage. I have literally all the Van Lowe's off-whites. That's mm-hmm. Those are the ones he's kind of started with.
Oh yeah, those are like the originators.
Yeah, have a matter of fact, I got off-white on right now. I got my off-white sweater on. You know, just different like this stuff like well, it's just things like this that I just love about. You know, his
makes it different.
And yeah. So this is like his tag.
Yep. And it's always in the back.
Yeah. So I just think like just stuff like that. Like I love unique stuff. I love people mm-hmm. thinking outside the box. You know,
one thing with it being so, you know, original is you know when it's an off-white piece. Because right. Like you said, with the tag, the tags on the sneakers, you had the right. Tags in the luggage and the book bags, all
you
that.
You know an off-white piece.
No question.
You know an off-white piece. And, you know, just the colorways, just everything that came with it. It was just super, super dope, man.
Yeah.
It's sad to see a designer legend leave us so soon.
Early in his career, just starting to hit his peak prime years, too.
Literally just starting.
Yeah, no question. But unfortunately, he passed away. We send out our condolences to his family and the Louis V family as well. Every week, you know what time it is. It's time to dish out some awards. All Things Covered Awards. We're dishing out two awards weekly for those that live up to our show name and have all things covered. The first award goes to a guy you will see Thursday night, Pat P. Mm-hmm. T.J. Watt. Against the Baltimore Ravens, a game that you said you watched, 3.5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 1 forced fumble. But get this, T.J. leads the NFL in sacks. I think he has 16.5, and he's missed 2 ball games.
Mm.
And this past week, he didn't practice at all because he was on the COVID list and eventually got cleared before game day on Sunday and came and gave them 3.5 sacks.
Mm.
He's a professional sack guy.
Yeah.
A sacker. He's a professional sacker. And wow. Also, Defensive Player of the Year award, he kind of got snubbed last year. If he's healthy, he won't get snubbed. He's the odds favorite right now, plus 200. Myles Garrett is plus 250. Trayvon Diggs is plus 550. Matt Judon, plus 1400. And Aaron Donald is plus 1400 as well. But the way TJ has been balling, I don't see him getting snubbed this year.
Nah.
Offensively, boy, the oldest quarterback in the National Football League. And oh, by the way, he's the best quarterback currently, Tom Brady. Tom Brady against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, against the Atlanta Falcons for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 38 of 51. 368 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. It was his 39th career game with 4-plus touchdowns, extends his NFL record, now has 34 pass touchdowns this season, which leads the NFL. Brady is on pace for 48 pass touchdowns, which would be his most since 2007 when the Pats went 16-0 in the regular season and second most ever. Tom Brady versus the Falcons, never bet against Tom Brady. He's 10-0. He's averaged over 330 yards. He has 28 touchdowns and 4 interceptions against the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm.
Beast, beast, beast. Oh, by the way, don't forget, as you watch the show right now, we got some merchandise out. Go get your All Things Covered merch.
It's now available.
CBS Sports Store. You can get your ATC hats, hoodies, tanks, water bottles, mugs, and more. Just visit store.cbssports.com. The link will also be in the episode description. Get that holiday shopping done right now.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back again Thursday, where you can expect all things to be covered.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.